You are going to have to indulge me today. Because this, what I'm going to share with you, I've actually been very, very excited about sharing this with you. Because a lot of this is going to be testimony of my heart to you and what God has done. One of the things that, you know, as we anticipate the birth of our child, that the Lord has been just stirring within my heart is just a reflection of where I was and where things were and what God had always planned for us. See, as we enter the new year, I really believe part of it is a restoration of the things God had planned for us. God had instilled within us from the get-go. When we talk about dreams, and I don't mean what you get at night, but the dreams of your life, I really believe the dreams that we get, especially when we are young, they're not our dreams. They're actually God's dreams first that He placed inside of us, that as we pursue Him, they come to life. But the contingency is as we pursue Him. And I really believe as we enter this new year, part of this is the next level, the next more to come that we've been expecting. He laid a foundation for many of us, and He's just now ready to construct on top of that foundations. Many of us in this room have had prophetic words spoken to us about our destiny and things in our future. And I believe God wants to start stirring the pot in those things and making things happen. But the contingency is, again, that we are pursuing Him. See, and we want to build hope and faith and impart this release today of these dreams. We want those dreams that God's heart has been harboring to begin to come to life and to well back up, because a lot of us have had some of those things press down a lot over things that happen in life. Some of my testimony, part of it, and I'll be sharing a little bit of testimony throughout this message is, you know, I knew when I was 16, 17, I knew what I wanted in life, okay? I wanted to be married by 25, I wanted to have a kid, I wanted to have my master's degree, and I wanted to have a job. That was my dream when I was 15, 16 years old. Those were my life goals. Those are what I saw. And guess what? It all happened. It all happened. My birthday's in September. And guess what happened September of 25? That for 10 years, I felt the month of September was cursed after I turned 25. Because in September of my 25th birthday, everything I dreamed about fell apart. Okay? Everything. The marriage I had fell apart. I was told I was never going to see the child that I had again. I lost my job. I was in a car accident, and I was homeless. And here I am, a graduate of seminary with a master's degree, but too ashamed to call my family and tell them what I did, because I felt like a failure. I was filled with shame and guilt. All my dreams fell apart right there. But see, God's dreams for me had not been forgotten. See, let's look at the beginning of the word in Genesis. Do you think God's dream for Adam and Eve to be in eternal relationship with Him was forgotten because of their sin? Do you think He forgot it? Well, how do we know that? Because we're here today. Do you think Abraham, God's dream for Abraham, was forgotten because Abraham was 90 years old? Abraham gave up on that dream. Adam and Eve, after they got kicked out of the garden, they're like, what do we do now? How do we commune with God? But God restored their seed in Christ Jesus, and that's why we're here today. Abraham was told, your people is going to be, your child, you're going to do this. He didn't believe in his dream. He didn't think that was reality. But look what happened. What about Moses? after being told, Moses, the dream I have for you is to rescue your people. Yet now you're an outcast living in the woods. You went from riches to rags like that. Moses gave up on those dreams. 40 years later, doing what he was doing, taking care of the flock. But God began to stir those dreams. What about Joseph? He had vivid dreams. And he ends up in a well and sold as a slave. Do you think Joseph didn't sit there some of those days, scratch his head, saying, but didn't you like God? Hello? Didn't you tell me these things? Weren't these things supposed to be happening in my life? And here I'm stuck in a well, stinky, smelly, don't have my pretty coat, about to be sold to a slave to a place I've never have, and I'm going to be a slave, and I don't even know how to cook because I came from privilege. It's amazing. What about David? David, you're anointed the next king of Israel, except you're going to spend the next 10 years of your life running for your life. You really think David felt like a king? Like there was reality? I mean, he had moments when he goes, yeah, I know God, you're with me. But then we read in the Psalms, his cry of the heart, where his sorrow was overwhelming. He gave up on the dream that God birthed in him. It wasn't his dream. It was God's dream that was birthed in him. See, the dream God has for us is not negated by our sin. There's nothing we can do to negate his dream for us if we choose to change our mind and get it right with him. He still wants those things for us. He's waiting for us, and this is important, to position ourselves where we need to be for him to make those dreams come true. No matter what I've done in my life, if I repent, which is changing my mind, and place myself in the position he wants me to be in, position myself, I make that choice, he will fulfill this dream to come true. It's his dream for us, and we just simply have to be willing to step into it. And I want to read with you this chapter in Luke, beginning verse 5 to about 25. It's a long story, but I think it's a powerful story. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people, they waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of the service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. So we know children, especially male heirs, are the pride and joy of any Jewish household. And what can we gather? Well, we can gather that pretty much Zacharias and Elizabeth, from the minute they were married, they wanted to have a kid. So how many years have they been praying to the Lord, pleading and dealing with the shame that went as not just the two of them not having children, because everyone's saying, what sins in your life? But now he's a priest, and people are saying, you're a priest and God has not blessed you. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So what are some things for God to make it happen, for the dreams that God has given us, for them to be realized? Well, first thing is, be in right standing with God. In other words, be righteous with God. And we know that our righteousness is filthy rags, but we are clothed with His righteousness. Okay? See, verse 6 says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. What's that telling me? That's telling me, first thing I need to do is say, Lord, thank you for what I do have, and I'm not going to curse you for what I don't have. Thank you for positioning me in the position and place I am in life, and I'm not going to complain about my circumstances. Thank you that my identity is wrapped in you and who you called me to be, and I'm not what people think I should be like and do. See, at 25, a year later, 26, God called me to ministry here. So here I am, a divorced man, or about to be divorced, going through a divorce, man who had backslid for over a year, maybe attended church two Sundays that whole year, doing things I shouldn't have been doing, being angry at God, but now getting myself right with God. Because I remember, I was sharing with my wife a few weeks ago, there was a time, I remember that first Sunday I went back to repent, and the shame and guilt was so over me, I couldn't even take communion. They had communion that Sunday. I couldn't take it till, because I knew I wasn't right yet with the Lord. And it was after I got back in right standing with God that I became right with the Lord. But now here I am, 26, knowing, reluctantly by the way, but knowing that I'm supposed to get into ministry and get my license and my credentials with the assemblies and as I came in this church. And man looked at me, and I don't blame them because this is the way it's supposed to be done. But the leadership looked at me and said, you're 25 years old, 26 years old. Our bylaw says you can only be a husband of one wife. You're inexperienced. You come from a Southern Baptist background. I had, you know, Santa's list of naughty and nice. I had a lot of naughty things on that list, according to that. Okay? And again, it's just the way things were based on various situations. And they looked and said, even if we give you a license, the way things are, if you get married, you have to give up your license, or you have to choose to stay single the rest of your life. Well, I took a step of faith. And again, there's no blame here. The only blame is on me for the choices I made prior to that.
Okay.
But that was the perception. And I had to deal with that and say, you know what? Whether I get a license or not, whether anyone says anything or not, I know what God is calling me to do. So I'm not going to complain about what I have, don't have. I'm going to give God the glory. And I'm going to keep doing whatever it is God's called me to do. And we'll see where the chips line up, where everything falls, and how things come together. So be in right standing with God. That's what they needed to do. And God declares them righteous, that they were righteous. Second thing is, do what you're supposed to be doing. In other words, live life as God's called you to live. See, so it was, this is verse 8, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division. Zacharias was going to do what he was supposed to do no matter what was happening around him. He was fulfilling the purpose God had for him. He was living his daily life. He's been doing it since he was a wee little man, because of the order he's in, because of his lineage, because this was his destiny. So he was just fulfilling the purpose God called him. He was doing things on a daily basis that he was supposed to do. I needed to do the same thing as I pressed in. I just needed to, every day, Lord, what do you have for me? If I'm preaching this week, I'll preach this week, no matter how bad I am. Play my guitar, I'll play my guitar. You want me to teach, I'll teach. Royal Rangers, you want me to teach children, preschools, it doesn't matter. I do what I needed to do. No matter what I might have felt or thought, I just was faithful. I needed to be faithful to do it. And it's humbling. It's humbling. Because there was a time during that period, because after I lost my job, again, 26, two master's degree, and I'm working at a gas station midnight shift, then go home, sleep 2 hours, and work landscaping during the day while I was looking for a job. Something more. Just waiting on the Lord to do this, to let the dream he has for me begin to unfold. But I just needed to just do life every day and just press into what he has for me. Since we were married, most of you know this story. The pressure was on to have a child. And I love my dad to death. But my dad decides to send me a packet this thick with information about fertility process. And he says, you know, this is just for you to read and pray about. We looked at it, and after we got a laugh, we said, you know, we're not doing this. But then the pressure mounted, and you know the rest of the story, most of you. We went ahead and called a fertility doctor. But the day before the appointment, Holy Spirit woke us up, said, no, don't. Cancel it. You're not supposed to have it. No, nothing's wrong here. I'm taking care of you. I'm your fertility doctor. I will bring this dream to light in your life. But just do what you're supposed to do. Third thing is, your friends matter. See, outside, while Zacharias was doing what he was supposed to do every day, no matter what, there was a whole multitude in verse 10 of people praying outside at the house of incense. They were praying for him because why? He was entering the presence of the Lord. And if something goes wrong, you know, the Lord can strike somebody dead. A lot of times when they did this, the priests would wear bells and have a rope tied to their waist, because no one else was allowed to enter. So if something were to happen and God strikes the priest dead, the people can reel him back in and they can hear if the bell what's going on because of the bells. But that's how sacred it was, and a big deal. He was entering the presence of the Lord, but he had people praying, covering. Who surrounds us? Who am I surrounded with? Who do I allow to speak into our lives? Who do I share my deepest heart and with, knowing that they will pray and intercede, not gossip? Who am I accountable to? See, the choice we had to make in the last few years is we're not going to listen to people who said, this is what you need to do. We're going to surround ourselves with people who are going to say, we're going to believe God for a child, and we're going to pray that way. Not, well, if God wants you to have a child, you'll have a child. No, get out of my way. I'm going to go to the person who says, I'm standing on this, and I'm declaring that your womb is not barren, and you will have a child. At 26, everyone around me were making statements, oh, you need to do this and do that, and I don't want to get into the details, but a lot of worldly things so that I can get back in my son's life, so I can get back and have a relationship with him. Even though the things that they were saying, because it's the way the world looked at it, went against the convictions of my heart that this is not the way God wants it done. So who did I listen to? I chose to listen to Pastor Joe and women like Anne Marie and Sue and Roberta, who were here at the time, and others who said, no, no, we're going to pray God's will be done perfectly, that you will have it, and it'll be done the way God has shown you. I surrounded myself with these people. Your friends matter. Who are we spending time with, divulging the heart's desires with? Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't just tell anyone your deepest secrets. Don't pour it out. But strategically surround yourself with people who are going to build you up, who are going to agree with you to pray into the dream God has for you. One of the things scientists found out, that if there's something on our hearts to do, we want to decide to do, the more we talk about it, the chemical reaction in our brain is as if we're doing it. So it becomes less likely over time that we actually do it, because we get, for lack of a better word, that high of what it would have felt like to be done. So instead of talking to everybody about it, strategically share with those who are going to surround you and hold your arms up and press into that dream with you, so God will fulfill what he has for you. Next thing is, expect God to show up. I find it funny that here's Zacharias into the place that reflects and represents the presence of God. And when God shows up, he's freaked out. He's been in there before doing this, and God never showed up before like this. So what was his expectation? Just going to do this? Hopefully I won't die. I'll just light the incense and be done with it. But God showed up. Then the angel Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias, he was where he was supposed to be. He was in the presence of God. So if we position ourselves where we are supposed to be, where God would want us to be, and we are pursuing his presence, why wouldn't God not show up? If we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're honoring him by being faithful with the little and saying, God, this is what I dreamed of and what I want and what I hoped for. This is where I am right now. I'm going to make the best of it right now. And I carry your presence, Lord. I carry your presence. So you're going before me. You're within me. You're flowing out of me. Okay. I need to expect God to show up. God to speak in my life. God to be constantly working. See, God does not take a vacation from our lives. God is there. We take vacations from him. Okay. He never wants to go on vacation without us. He takes us on his vacation. So expect him to show up. And then we read in verse 12, Zacharias was troubled and fear fell on him. Well, that's not the fear we talked about last week. It's not reverent fear. This was, I'm scared to death, what the heck is going on fear. Because he was not expecting this to happen. I want to bless you right now before we go on. I just feel like I need to just release expectation. So would you just put yourself in a receiving position right now? Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask that you come right now and you release an increase in expectation of you revealing yourself to us, you showing up. We want more, Lord God. We want to walk, not just Sunday mornings in church, but every day with an expectation of your presence wherever we are, Lord. That you show up, home, church, workplace, street, car, anywhere. So we just release that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So expect him. Fifth thing is, expect God's dream for you to be greater than yours. What do I mean by that? Expect the way he envisions what he has for you to be greater than your mind's capacity to even imagine what your life could look like with that dream coming to fruition. Okay? Let's look at this for a second. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he shall turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Elizabeth and Zacharias just wanted a baby. Lord, just give us a baby. Any baby. We'll even take a girl. Just give us a baby. Give us a child. That was their dream. What was God's dream? You've been faithful. You've positioned yourself where I want you to be. You did not curse me. You didn't complain. You didn't whine. But you're doing life humbly. My dream for you is you're not just going to get a child. But guess what? Everyone's going to rejoice over this child. Not only that, this kid is going to be great, not in man's sight, in the sight of the Lord. God's going to look at him and go, hey, look at John. Look at my special creation right there. He's going to be pure. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even from his mother's womb. And he's going to turn many people to God. And he will go before him, the Messiah, the one to come, in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom. This is what he's going to do. You just wanted a child. I'm giving you a child plus. I'm giving you my dream for you. Your mind doesn't have the capacity to host my dream for you. Our minds don't have the capacity to even let our imaginations grow to what God's reality is that he doesn't even have to imagine. Doesn't. See, pressing on, doing daily life, 2007, God said to me, you need to build an addition on your house. I have an L-shaped ranch. I had bought an L-shaped ranch 3 years earlier. Build an addition so that I can, because I'm providing you a family. Okay. And I'm in the gym like I was doing at that time in the morning, at Gold's Gym at that time in Middletown. And I got to know a guy, didn't know what he did for a living. Then one day I found out he's a contractor. The Lord said, that's who you need to ask to build that addition. Built that addition. Squared it up, put it up, and many thought, including some people in this room, you're a single guy living by yourself in this giant house. What are you doing? And I even thought that because a year went by, 2 years went by. Because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, you're giving me family. The addition will be built in March or whatever. It'll be done February, March. And the wife will show up then. And she'll have a job and help pay the mortgage. Again, my limited mind. But God said, just relax. Keep doing what you're doing. So 4 years later, I met Tiff. But here's what was amazing. I was just thrilled to finally meet the one that God had for me. Spent 16 years single, waiting, honoring God, trusting. Not even dating around, just trusting and waiting. I went out with a couple of, but that's it. Nothing much. And we showed up. She showed up into my life, and we knew. She knew first, we knew. But here's the thing, what blows me away even to this day. People, just like he said, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. The way the response from those around us about our relationship and our wedding is still to this day shocking to me. When we look at the videos, we were shocked at the joy that was there when we met and we got married. And we still scratch our heads, and the only thing we can say is there was a special anointing on it for God's purpose that we can't explain. People were more excited than we were, which was kind of funny. And the people who got excited, a lot of them were from unexpected sources. We're going, why are you so happy for us? What's the big deal? People get married every day. But there was such joy. Why? Because it was God's dream. He was restoring, as Scripture puts it, what the locust had eaten. See, the enemy's purpose in cutting away our dreams is to take us out of the purpose God has for us. He wants to shut down your ability to imagine even what God has for you and chase it by creating shame, doubt, disbelief. Beat you down that it could never happen. Can't move forward. How many times do you think Zacharias and Elizabeth gave up and just said, you know, we're not having kids, we're done. Single guys or gals, I'm never going to meet the one that's for me. Never going to find the right job. Whatever it is that it might be. He wants to bring us to a place of discouragement where we quit pursuing the things of God. We quit doing. See, Zacharias could have easily said this. Well, there's so much shame surrounding my family. I can't even have a kid. Not even a girl. And here I am a priest. I don't deserve to be a priest. I shouldn't even be walking in the presence of God. There's something wrong with me. Based on the environment. He shouldn't have, from a flesh perspective, he could have easily said that, been so discouraged, gotten out of God's presence or planned for him, his purpose. But he didn't. Enemy wants to take us out of his purpose, discourage us from that, so that we quit pursuing, quit trusting, quit having faith that we need that. It's still, God's still God. Whatever I do does not influence God's dream for me as long as I am in where the position I need to be. That's it. God has that for me. And now that same joy and excitement we're seeing with the birth of our child. That same joy and excitement that we've received and felt and still scratch our head for when we got married now is being translated into this child, which blew me away. Even, again, unexpected sources. At work, there are several women that are having kids at work that are pregnant. and engaged. Yet there's more rejoicing and talk about our child and me having a child than it is that. Blows me away. But again, it's God's anointing. It's nothing we do, but simply stay obedient to Him, position ourselves where we need to be for Him to make this dream come true. And just like Zacharias, he was told this child's got a special call on his life. We know our child has that call on her life. We know each one of us in this room has that call on their life for God to fulfill the dreams in them. You've got that same anointing. And I always go back to, you know, my dream began, I started to envision it at 15, 16. I know many of us in this room had that same thing happen, maybe even younger than that. You began to say, I want this, I want that, I can see this, this is what I want to be, this is what I'd love to do. God wants to restore those things with us. As a child, you say those things and you're innocent about them, but then you become cynical as you get older because of life. God doesn't get cynical. God says, I planted these things in you. You pursue me, I'll take care of them. You get positioned where I want you to be, I will take care of the rest for you. And the last thing, just say yes. See, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this from an old man? And my wife is well advanced in years. See, here's a priest of God that forgot the story of Moses. I mean, of Abraham. Because he stole that line from Abraham. Hey, angel, I'm an old man and my wife is, you know, in her 80s and I'm in my 90s. He forgot. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, because I stand in the presence of God, who was sent by God to speak to you directly of these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until these days things take place, because you did not believe in the words which will be fulfilled in their own time. See, I don't want to focus necessarily on the mute part, but I want to focus on something else. Just say yes, because when we realize the Holy Spirit speaks to us, even as a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old speaks to you, the Holy Spirit is in is the wisdom, the heart of the Father being revealed, right? As He reveals to us here today, He reveals to something we're, you know, praying over our child is, and I'm yesterday as we were praying, I just felt the need to vocalize this, Lord. Or it might have been even this morning, I can't remember right now. But said, Lord, we know that based on science, she recognizes our voices. She hears our voice already. She knows our voices. Lord, we're asking that she knows your voice too right now. She's already hearing the voice, that the sheep know the good shepherd's voice. As your sheep, she already knows your voice. That she's already listening to you. That even as a young baby, in her mother's womb, she will still know who she is. Lord told me that He's going to reveal to me a scripture I need to declare over her every day of her life, into her destiny. Still praying and seeking the Lord for that specific scripture, but I'm believing He's going to give it to me before she's born. So say yes. To me, that means enjoy the ride. God gives you that revelation. If God planted that dream, all right, Lord, how are we going to pursue this? As God restores it, brings it back to light, how are we going to do this? I'm super excited at this birth, but I'm also like, reality hit me like Friday night. We're going, this is the last time we're going to lay on the couch alone, probably. Or, you know, last time we're going to do this alone for, as my wife put it, 18 years. But you know what? Enjoy the ride, because it's destiny. God has restored in my life, and I give Him glory, everything the enemy took away. Because he knew my dream at what it was at 25, and then I thought I made it in life. And the enemy says, ha, no, no, we're going to get you down. But God says, your dream is much greater than that. I've got this in store for you. And there is still so much more. So the Lord has redeemed everything the enemy has tried to take. And it's not just redeeming it. I didn't come back to black zero, out of the red to zero. He's adding. And we're moving forward and pressing into more. This is what God is doing. This is the God that we serve. Enjoy the ride. Pray into the blessing and the revelation. Pursue God's purpose and desire for your dream. I know a few weeks ago we felt very strongly here that God was beginning to stir those things up, that, you know, things that the enemy tried to take away from you and discourage you from doing, that God wants to rebuild it, bring it back out again. And I feel like for many, this dream is meant to come. There's no such thing as age. That's why in Joel it says, old men shall dream dreams. In other words, you're never too old to follow the dream God has for you, because it's not your dream, it's God's dream for you. It's His plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11, I alone know the plans I have for you, to bring you a future, and not the hope that you desire, but and a hope, referring to the hope I have for you, the everything that I have in store for you as you seek me. Enjoy the ride. Press into it. Jump through it. Get excited about it. Pray. Ask the Lord, what are the steps to this? But say yes to it. Say yes to it. Would you stand with me right now? Just get into that receiving position right now. What I'm getting a vision right now of is I see a hand coming and kind of sweeping dust off a table or something of that nature, as if it's just cleaning something up, restoring something to what it was. And I'm believing that that vision is that God is just cleaning the dust off your dreams, the things that He had instilled in you to pursue and to follow. And He wants to release your dream into action today. So Lord, we just thank You, first of all, for the dream that You have for each one of us. And the ultimate dream You have for this church. And we just ask that You release it into our lives right now. You bring it back. You take the dust off, Lord God. The muck and the mire that have covered it, Lord God, the sand and the dirt, wipe that clean, Lord God, and bring to revelation the beauty of what was originally planned for us, God, what You have for us. Let it shine. Just release it right now. Just release it right now, Jesus, into our hearts. Just release it, Lord. Release it. I feel like God just gave somebody a word for this body. If that's you, would you just come forward and share it? Release that dream.
I think I hear the Father saying, fear not, little flock. It is my pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I feel like what He's saying is that fear not. Those who have fear, He's giving you the kingdom. Those who have sickness, He's giving you the kingdom. Those who have lack and poverty, He's giving you the kingdom. Those who have no faith, that are despairing and brokenhearted, He's giving you the kingdom. Yeah. Fear not, little flock. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. So we receive right now in the name of Jesus. We say yes to You. We say yes to You, Holy Spirit. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Yeah, Father, thank You. Just release those dreams, Lord, unto us. Bring them back. Bring them back. Thank You, Jesus. I just want you to just soak for a few more seconds and just continue to receive from the Holy Spirit. And then when we break up into our prayer groups, take what you're receiving and pray into that for one another. You don't have to go into deep detail if you don't want to, but just pray into that. Bless each other with the receiving and the revelation of the fullness of those things.
The second point Mike went over was that do what you're supposed to be doing. And it just felt like there was a couple of different groups of people in this room. There's people that know exactly what they're supposed to be doing and they're doing it. So if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, amen, we bless it in Jesus' name. If you know what you're supposed to be doing and you're still asking for confirmation, here's your confirmation. God says do it. So start walking in it. Now, don't wait. Just start walking in those things. And if you're the third category, you're like, I know there's more than what I'm doing in my everyday life. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I want to invite you to consecrate yourself in the new year to praying and fasting. You can fast whatever. Try to make it something significant in your life. Pray. What the fasting is going to be like, and then we invite you to come to our home Monday through Friday. In the natural, it is crazy to have a house full of people with a newborn, but Jesus told us when we first got word that we were going to be pregnant, we would have the anointing to do it. So don't hesitate, because the Lord's anointing this time. If you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, we invite you, consecrate yourself, pray and fast. Monday through Friday, come to our home, pray, and by the end of it, I believe God's going to show you exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, just another 10, 15 seconds. Just receive right now, and then we'll break up. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.